Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Professional wrestling really gets a lot of passion, love from fans. When a pro wrestling legend or a very popular wrestler passes away, the pro wrestling fan base truly grieves and mourns for that loss. Because when somebody so beloved in pro wrestling passes away, a part of pro wrestling dies along with that person. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Ringside Chaos. This is the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. Well, obviously, I continue to have some issues with steady and fresh content for Ringside Chaos because of my schedule and my focus on other shows, but here I am. Well, before I get into this, obviously you've seen the title of this episode. I want to take a moment to honor the late Eddie Guerrero as well as Crash Holly, because recently the anniversaries of their respective deaths have just been upon us. As we know, Crash Holly passed away November 6th, 2003, 22 years ago, and we just hit the 20-year anniversary of the death of Eddie Guerrero. Well, before I get into that, there's a little bit of the latest in the news of pro wrestling. Frankie Kazarian became the new TNA World Champion, I believe. Joe Hendry actually signed with WWE, I saw. Zack Ryder, I think, made a return to WWE programming. John Cena became the Intercontinental Champion, meaning he finally became a Grand Slam champion. Obviously, The Miz, one of his biggest rivals, had something interesting to say on Twitter, but yeah, there's been a lot happening a bit, and I've obviously not had the time to basically do these episodes, but I want to make sure that I mention them here before I kind of get before I get to what I wanted to talk about. But man, looking back to some of the stuff that I retweeted, well, obviously, actually, I should mention Rebel of AEW recently announced that she actually... She had recently been diagnosed with a form of cancer, and obviously I send my thoughts and prayers to Rebel. You know, she hasn't been in AEW programming for well over a year. She had been dealing with some health issues, and what she announced actually a couple of days ago, well, it was really blindsiding. So obviously I'm sending some thoughts and prayers, and I wish her nothing but a speedy recovery, but... Excuse me. But, you know, you mentioned, like, you know, a couple of days ago, even Matt Cardona or Zack Ryder, as we know, you know, mentioned, you know, something on Twitter, you know, mentioned, you know, don't quit, be always ready, thank you. I mean, it was amazing. So, you know, not to mention also, speaking of some wrestling news, Braun Strowman, his Everything on the Menu show is actually, apparently, it's a big success. So, man. I don't know when Braun Strowman's Everything's on the Menu show started, but it mentioned Wrestling News recently, like about 5 days ago, mentioned that his Everything on the Menu show on Friday after WWE SmackDown was, quote, a pretty big success, actually pretty damn big success, especially this day and age, unquote. And apparently it had over 500,000 views, so it beat AEW Dynamite as well as NXT on a network station. So, and as I mentioned, yeah, Frankie Kazarian is the new TNA World Champion. And I even mentioned, you know, according to Wrestling News, he wants a match against AJ Styles. And Wrestling News also mentioned that Zack Ryder is back in WWE. Well, I didn't see any news from that, from anything else, but again, you know, from Zack Ryder's reaction, but I'm not sure exactly what Zack Ryder's particular position is. I believe he's still a freelancer, but he competes on the indies and he makes appearances for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling and WWE under his real name, stylized as Matt Cardona. So, Zack Ryder confirmed a signing agreement with WWE, but so I'm not sure exactly what the situation is, but So basically, both parties signed a short-term agreement for his merchandise sales. So WWE is definitely doing something's different. But again, Drew McIntyre joined the Vision. Man, and again, John Cena finally became a Grand Slam champion, and I think wrestled at Madison Square Garden. I think for the last time, you know, recently had a match. So the John Cena retirement too. I think there's two more dates to go. So we're basically just about at the end of the road. So I wanted to mention this a little bit of the wrestling news before I got to what I wanted to talk about. So I apologize if I took a little bit too long, but I definitely wanted to mention those. So, Eddie Guerrero and Crash Holly. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that they meant a lot to me because that's not true. They still mean a lot to me. If I were to sit here and say that they meant a lot to me, it would kind of go against the fact that Crash Holly and Eddie Guerrero still do mean a lot to me. See, if somebody asks me, Alex, do you think Eddie Guerrero was entertaining? I say no. He was not, because the truth is Eddie Guerrero is still entertaining today. So again, if I were to sit here and say that Eddie Guerrero was entertaining, I'd be admitting that Eddie Guerrero does not have an impact on me anymore personally, which would be completely untrue because Eddie Guerrero still has a very big impact on me personally. I still go on YouTube and watch his promos. I want to go back and watch his matches. So again, I make it clear, Eddie Guerrero is still entertaining, and not just for me, but for the wrestling fan base. I'm sure everybody would agree, like, no, he's still entertaining. We can't say he was entertaining because Eddie Guerrero is still entertaining. Same thing with Crash Holly. Same thing with a lot of other deceased wrestlers. You know, their legacies are always being recognized. We don't forget them. We want to go back and see their matches. Okay? So, and now, I was asked recently, what's my favorite Eddie Guerrero match? That right there is a very good question. I would have to say that match against Rey Mysterio in WCW, I believe it was at Halloween Havoc? I might be wrong. Again, I didn't plan on kind of mentioning this, but of course, you know, Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio in WWE SummerSlam 2005, the ladder match for the custody of Dominic Mysterio. I mean, that was great. The ladder match that was at SummerSlam. You know, a little over 20 years ago, a few months before Eddie Guerrero tragically passed away. But it was the 1997 Halloween Havoc match between Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio Jr. It was for the WCW Cruiserweight Championship. And there was a stipulation that if Mysterio lost, he would have to give up his mask. So, of course, the way Rey Mysterio won the match by countering a Guerrero powerbomb into a Hurricanrana pin. Wow. I mean, it's considered one of the greatest matches, not only in WCW, but one of the greatest matches in pro wrestling history. So I could have easily said that Eddie Guerrero's. So honestly, that's my favorite match. But there's other matches that come to mind. His match against Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20 was incredible. Again, the one against Rey Mysterio at SummerSlam 2005. It was amazing. Obviously, I could have easily said that Eddie Guerrero's match against Brock Lesnar was his best, but Eddie Guerrero, just, again, one of the most charismatic wrestlers of all time. Strong charisma, and, you know, and Eddie Guerrero, you know, wrestled in Japan, in Mexico. He made an impact everywhere he went, okay? So, you know, and Eddie Guerrero, one of the most charismatic and most technically gifted pro wrestlers of all time. I mean, Eddie Guerrero is just one of the best. So, again, everything he did still makes an impact. I mean, a lot of fans go back and watch his promos and go back and watch his matches. So, you know, to mention, you know, some of the matches, you know, which is how he introduced the WWE United States Championship to SmackDown in Vengeance of 2003. Man, there was that match on SmackDown in April 2005. You see, and I'm looking at a list right there. The match at Judgment Day, which we all know about that in 2004. So of course there was the that rivalry with Rob Van Dam in 2002 in May 2002 that ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. Oh, that was fun. Though of course this particular size, the Sportster.com mentions Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio Judgment Day 2005. And there was that 2 out of 3 falls match in September of 2004 as well. But obviously, according to this, Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle at WrestleMania 20 is considered number 2. Number 1 is obviously Eddie Guerrero versus Brock Lesnar at No Way Out in 2004. Man. Oh, man. I love Eddie Guerrero. I miss him so much. And seeing like how he made an impact everywhere he went, from Japan, Mexico, WCW, the WWF, WWE. Man, died tragically and unexpectedly. He was 38 years old, and we all know how Eddie Guerrero, how his personal demons and his struggles with addiction. That story about, you know, how I think, you know, he was fired from the WWF. I think it was in 2000 or 2001. Like, lost everything. Man, he just lost everything, but he got it all back. He got it all back, you know. I'll never forget the, okay. When it comes to my favorite Eddie Guerrero promo, you know what? The one with Brock Lesnar is my favorite, because that promo was based on legitimacy. And you all know the promo I'm talking about, that promo with Brock Lesnar. This was before Brock Lesnar dropped the belt to Eddie Guerrero. And I'm sure in Brock Lesnar's case, for Eddie Guerrero to cut that promo, I mean, sometimes I want, you know, I'm wondering, man, it's amazing how Brock Lesnar, you know, was able to keep a straight face. I mean, if I, you know, being a promo like that, I would have just burst into tears, because that's just how much I love. I mean, I do burst into tears when I watch that promo, but that's just how much I love Eddie Guerrero. That's just how much he means to me, you know. But Eddie Guerrero, again, was released in 2001 because of his addiction issues. He returned in 2002. And that was it. He only went higher and higher and higher. Eventually reached main event status, and that was it. And I'll be honest with you, when he dropped the title to JBL, honestly, I didn't like it personally, because I loved Eddie Guerrero as the champion. I mean, I love Eddie Guerrero no matter what, but I still felt like he should have still had the belt. Now, again, no disrespect to JBL. No disrespect at all. But I think the reason why he dropped the belt, I don't know if this was from the Dark Side of the Ring episode, you know, the one with that also mentions Chris Benoit. I think Vicky Guerrero, his widow, mentioned that he dropped the belt due to the excessive pressure of being champion. I don't know. But whatever the case is, Eddie Guerrero was all business, and if he felt that dropping the belt was best for business and for him, then okay. But personally, I think Eddie Guerrero still should have been champion. But again, no disrespect to JBL. No disrespect to JBL at all, but Eddie Guerrero remained popular regardless. And of course, there's always there's that talk that the day that Eddie Guerrero passed away in Minneapolis, he was actually booked to become the World Heavyweight Champion that day. A lot of wrestlers insist that it's true, but according to research, Batista, who was the champion at the time, denied that in his book. I believe there was supposed to be a triple threat match on SmackDown, and it was supposed to be between Eddie, Batista, and Randy Orton. And Eddie Guerrero, again, had been booked to win the title, although, again, Batista denied that. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. But again, you know, for Eddie Guerrero, you know, what he experienced as far as addiction and everything, I mean, that promo he cut against Brock Lesnar, I mean, if you don't know that promo, then I suggest you go see. I mean, it's on YouTube. It is on YouTube, okay? And I got to tell you, you are going to get emotional about it, because that promo, you know, it was based off what Eddie Guerrero went through. I mean, a lot of it, those real life issues, you know, were incorporated into his storylines about how he overcame this and look where he is now. I mean, you see, it goes to show how brutal the pro wrestling business is. I mean, when you're traveling all the time, you're wrestling several times a week, the toll that takes on your body, you know, the pain, the physical, mental, and emotional pain. Pro wrestling, ladies and gentlemen, is not a joke. It is not a joke. So, man. Eddie Guerrero. You know, honestly, here's actually one of the favorite matches. I'll never forget on SmackDown when they had a Royal Rumble on SmackDown, which Eddie Guerrero won to become the number one contender. That was actually one of the best matches I had ever seen, especially, you know, when Eddie Guerrero and Kurt Angle were the final two, how they both worked in the ring, you know, eventually Guerrero won. So the Royal Rumble on SmackDown in 2004 was incredible. So, oh, man. And seeing how, you know, Eddie Guerrero, all of the accomplishments, I mean, he's not only a WWE Hall of Famer, he's a Hall of Famer with the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, and not to mention he's a part of the AAA Lucha Libre AAA Worldwide Hall of Fame. Man, Eddie Guerrero was just incredible. I mean, you know, he started, you know, he worked in AAA in the early to mid 90s, was with New Japan, even briefly appeared at ECW, again, the times in WCW, and I believe in February of 2002, according to research, on the debut show of Ring of Honor, he actually worked a match with Super Crazy. And that show was known as The Era of Honor Begins, to crown the first ever IWA Intercontinental Champion. And Guerrero put Super Crazy over. So before returning to WWE, Eddie Guerrero worked in the indies. So, man. So, you know, that time right there. So, man. Did actually briefly was in New Japan in 2002, so before he returned to WWE. So when Eddie Guerrero was fired from the WWF in 2001, I mean, again, you know, it was so tragic. And, you know, he lost everything, but you know what? He got back up. He got everything back, and you know what? It's incredible. And of course, you know, he was known for being devout with his faith, and you know, I know that a lot of that helped him, so it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And Eddie Guerrero, I lie, I cheat, I steal, man. Latino Heat, still, you know, a huge impact. And, you know, the storylines, you know, I think, you know, with the Radicals in the Attitude Era, I'll never forget that storyline with the late China as well, you know. And you know what? Before I wrap it up, I got to mention the brief heel turn in 2005. You know, usually when a face turn or a heel turn is brief, it's usually not a good thing. But in Eddie Guerrero's case, that brief heel run in 2005 was, well, it was short, but you know what? It went well in that rivalry with Rey Mysterio. I mean, especially how he turned heel, you know, that brutal clothesline, that suplex under the steel steps, and how he delivered that promo the following week. That's my second favorite promo for Eddie Guerrero. The best promo for Eddie Guerrero was one with Brock Lesnar, and the second one was that after he betrayed Rey Mysterio. So that whole feud, I mean, at first it all started because Eddie Guerrero, I think that match at WrestleMania 21, Eddie Guerrero worked Rey Mysterio and put Rey Mysterio over. And then, of course, at the time they were the tag team champions, they lost it. They lost the titles. And then Eddie Guerrero was showing signs of a heel turn by, you know, abandoning Rey Mysterio that eventually attacked him. And then when he cut that promo the following week, I mean, Eddie Guerrero walked out slowly and didn't even drive the lowrider. And yeah. So the heel Eddie Guerrero in 2005 worked very, very well. And after wrapping up the Rey Mysterio feud, he turned face again. I think, you know, he was named the number one contender for the world title against Batista. And then, you know, of course, that whole thing with Batista and Eddie Guerrero, I mean, it was entertaining. And Guerrero became a face, became face again. And it was fun. It really was. And A lot of the promos and stuff, they're out there, folks. And you know what? I try to watch them at least once a week. You know what? I will never, ever, ever get bored of them. Eddie Guerrero, I miss you, buddy. I miss you. Viva la raza. Well, now let's talk more about Crash Holly. What is it about Crash Holly that I love the most? Well, he was known as the Houdini of hardcore. And he earned that nickname. He truly did. What I really loved about Crash Holly is just, you know, much like Eddie Guerrero, Crash Holly paid his dues to make it to the big show, to make it to the WWF, especially to be featured in the Attitude Era. See, Crash Holly worked extremely hard. And when I was studying about him, you know, that while he was working in the indies and while he was working, while he was training and working in the indies, Crash Holly worked a full-time job, I believe, at a grocery store at a California grocery store chain called Safeway, I believe. You know, Crash Holly and Eddie Guerrero, I regret that I never got a chance to meet them, because there's a lot of wrestlers that I want to meet personally and shake their hand and thank them so much for what they do, you know. And I know that Eddie Guerrero and Crash Holly are looking down from heaven, and I know that they know how much I appreciate them, and I know that they appreciate it. But in Crash Holly's case, you know, how he worked so hard and for everything that he had, and you know, and Crash Holly's death is tragic as well. I mean, especially with how it happened. You know, again, like I said, the pro wrestling business is not a joke, and I'm not sure if in Crash Holly's case, I'm sure that mental health had to have taken effect in it. Again, you know, the wrestling business is just that brutal, and you know, and sometimes the injuries that and how wrestling just takes a physical and mental and emotional toll on your body. I mean, it's tough. So, and again, you know, how Crash Holly passed away is just so tough. I mean, you know, I don't want to specifically mention the details. It's just how tragic it is. And I'll mention this. It was that he was found dead at a fellow wrestler's house. It was Stevie Richards. So, man, in Stevie Richards' case, I mean, it's got to be tough on him as well. But again, when I mentioned about Crash Holly, it's just, you know, how all the work, you know, that he put in. I mean, he made his debut in 89, and he wrestled for over a decade on the independent circuit before he arrived in the World Wrestling Federation in 98. So I should mention that, you know, he debuted in 89, so he arrived in 98, so he spent about a decade in the indies. So Crash Holly was paying his dues, working hard, and just not giving up. Crash Holly, the fact that he spent 10 years in the indies and did not give up on his dream, you know, it inspires me to keep going. Because look, I'm trying to build several successful podcasts, including this one, Ringside Chaos. So Crash Holly, much like Eddie Kingston, those guys inspire me. You know, Eddie Guerrero as well, because of what happened to him. Guys like Eddie Guerrero, Eddie Kingston, Crash Holly, and so many other wrestlers, their hard work, their refusal to quit, it inspires me to do the same. I'm in my 30s as well, okay? I want to have a very successful series of podcasts because I want to take care of my family and because this is my passion. But most of all, I want to do this because I want to take care of my family, just like Crash Holly, just like Eddie Kingston, just like Eddie Guerrero. They did what they had to do in order to achieve success so they can take care of their family, but also to do what they, to be successful in doing what they love to do. And Crash Holly again, 9 years in the indies, you know, and Eddie Kingston was in the indies for how long? What was it? 20 years? Eddie Kingston was in the indies. See, it's hard to make it in a brutal industry of pro wrestling. Not every wrestler makes it. I mean, a lot of wrestlers work so hard, and those that unfortunately do not make it to the big show, my heart aches for them. But regardless of the fact that you try your best, you know, nothing can be taken away from you. So Crash Holly just, again, such an influence in the hard work and dedication. it's amazing. And again, and as I mentioned, while he was training as a wrestler and working in the indies, he worked a second job in a grocery store. Because again, in the indies, traveling and the pay is not high. I mean, it's tough. It's tough. But Crash Holly was paying his dues, just like Eddie Kingston. And I know that Eddie Guerrero paid his dues as well. So that's just how much an influence and an impact pro wrestlers have on me. If you work hard, if you don't give up, no matter what, it's going to pay off for you one day. So I'm doing it. I mean, I work, you know what, here's something interesting. This is something important that Crash Holly and I have in common. While I'm trying to build my podcasts, and I mentioned podcasts because I have five total. While I'm working on those, I'm working a second job as a barback and a busser. See, so I'm doing something similar to Crash Holly. And I know that Crash Holly would simply say, keep going, Alex. Keep going. Eddie Guerrero would tell me the same thing. So would Eddie Kingston. You know, and I mentioned Eddie Kingston so many times on this program. And I mentioned how Eddie Kingston is a hero of mine. Eddie Kingston is a hero to me. Okay, so is Eddie Guerrero, obviously. And so is, you know, Crash Holly. But Eddie Kingston is a hero as well, because, you know, I forget how long, I mean, Eddie Kingston debuted in 2002 and wrestled, you know, for many promotions like the NWA, Chikara, Combat Zone Wrestling. I mean, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. He was actually 18 years, Eddie Kingston was in the indies, 18 years before he signed with AEW. Now, during his time in the indies, he did have brief stints with Impact Wrestling and Ring of Honor. But he was a mainstay on the independent circuit for 18 years before he signed with AEW. So, man, it's amazing that it finally pays off for you. And of course, the story how I think in 2019 or in 2020, Eddie Kingston basically almost quit wrestling. And I'm glad that Eddie Kingston did not quit. Eddie Kingston, the fact that he was this close from quitting, but he didn't quit. That also inspires me to keep going, because there was several times I thought about quitting podcasting, but I didn't do it. And it's not only because of Crash Holly's influence and Eddie Kingston's influence and Eddie Guerrero's influence, along with so many professional wrestlers out there, along with their influence as well. It's because God's influence as well has convinced me to keep going. So it's good to see how a wrestler works hard and makes it. It basically inspires me to do the same, because if they can do it, then damn it, I can do it too. So going back to Crash Holly. So before he arrived in the WWF, Crash Holly did actually wrestle at ECW. But then he signed with the WWF, and he was a developmental, I think, for a bit. Crash Holly did not make his debut on the WWF programming until August of 1999. You know, of course, he was the storyline cousin of Hardcore Holly. Man. You know, I'll never forget, there was a gif that I saw of Crash Holly accidentally hitting Hardcore Holly in the head with that weight scale. So that weighing scale was obviously part of the Crash Holly character. He always carried it to the ring and like that. I think he would do the weigh-in. But you know, it's funny, and I love how when he was being introduced to the ring, it was basically like the ring announcer would say, weighing at allegedly well over 400 pounds. Man, I thought that was just so funny. Like, I would say allegedly well over 400 pounds. Man, Crash Holly was just absolutely unique, one of a kind. And won a total of over 25 championships in his time in the WWF. I mean, he was a one-time European champion, a one-time WWF light heavyweight champion. And so he won the hardcore title over 20 times. Yeah, and his time, you know, as the hardcore champion, I mean, the 24/7 rule, oh, that was entertaining. The feud he had with Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson, entertaining as well. Man, I loved it. And I think at one point, he was also a tag team champion as well. I think he and Hardcore Holly won the WWF tag team titles And they held it briefly before they lost it to Mankind and Al Snow. They actually beat The Rock and Saw Connection for the titles, so... Yeah. So... And Crash Holly, basically, again, the whole 24/7 rule, I mean... the fact that the title, he would lose the title, like, anywhere he went, like, you know, because he'd be attacked by wrestlers. I mean, the whole hardcore 24/7 rule, I mean, that's what inspired the 24/7 championship in WWE. So, yeah, I think at one time, yeah, as long as there was a referee around, I mean, that was a thing. So, so he would not only, that meant that he not only could lose the title in the ring, I mean, he could lose the title anywhere as long as there was a WWF referee around to make the count. So that means that he would be attacked at the airport, at the circus. I mean, one time at a funhouse, at Funtime USA. I think it's in New York. I think my friend Ricky Winkiewicz, he's mentioned he had been there so many times. I believe Ricky said that he briefly worked there. I might be wrong. I might be thinking of somebody else, but I know that Ricky told me so much. He used to go to, he had been to Funtime USA many times. And then I asked him, do you happen to go there when Crash Holly was there? And Ricky said, unfortunately not. But yeah, so Crash Holly would obviously frequently lose the title, but it wouldn't be long until he got it back. So, and I mean, that's what turned him into a face. And you know, of course, that's how he got the Houdini of Hardcore nickname. So, and I mean, he would leave the whole thing with Gerald Briscoe and Pat Patterson was just fun. It was fun. I mean, at one point, he even lost it to one of the Godfather's girls. That's just how funny the situation is. Crash Holly lost the title one time to one of the Godfather's girls. Technically, it's a different term, but I'm not going to use that term. I'm going to be a bit more appropriate. I'm going to say to the girls. So, and I think when Crash Holly lost the title to Gerald Briscoe. Well, he lost it to Gerald Briscoe in his sleep. I mean, I'm going to make sure I don't forget that, but I'll never forget when Crash Holly lost the hardcore title to Gerald Briscoe while he was asleep. I think Gerald Briscoe, in the story, Crash Holly went to the APA and told him that everywhere he goes, he gets attacked, so he hired them for an hour so he could sleep. The APA, after the hour, they slipped away. Gerald Briscoe just grabbed the referee and pinned Crash Holly in his sleep. I literally remember how the referee would, like, you know, had his arm like this, would count very, very quietly. They try to walk out, and then the referee slipped or tripped on something, created noise, and yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's on YouTube. I've tried to find it on YouTube, but I remember when it was on YouTube, but I don't know if the whole Crash Holly losing his title in his sleep. I don't know if it's on YouTube. I think I might have seen it on Facebook as well, but yeah, when Gerald Briscoe beat Crash Holly for the title, that was pretty funny. It was pretty funny. Crash Holly got the title back, and then Gerald Briscoe got it back again. And then Pat Patterson, like, smashed the wine bottle on Gerald Briscoe and then became champion. And then I remember that led to the fact that Briscoe and Pat Patterson had a lingerie or, like, a gown match or something like that, and Crash Holly got involved and beat the crap out of Patterson and Gerald Briscoe and got his title back. Yeah. It was fun. It really was. So after that, I'll never forget, you know, and sometimes I have forgotten, but I'm going to make sure I don't forget this one again, I should say, that Crash Holly was briefly part of Matt Hardy's faction in 2002 and 2003 when Matt Hardy had the Mattitude gimmick. And of course, Shannon Moore was Matt Hardy's Mattitude follower. Crash Holly actually joined the group eventually. So, I think basically when the WWF became the WWE and there was the Raw and the SmackDown brands, Holly at first was on the Raw brand where things didn't go too well, and then they moved him to SmackDown in September of 2002. And basically, it wasn't for a while that he joined the group. I don't know exactly when he joined the group. But I think, according to research, his first SmackDown match was in September of 2002. So, yeah, it was September 5th. So it was 3 days after he was moved to SmackDown. So, anyway, at this point, I'm not sure exactly when Crash Holly joined the Mattitude stable. But when he did join the Mattitude stable, he was basically considered Shannon Moore's moron, which I thought was pretty funny. Shannon Moore's moron. So, like, it's like it was an apprentice thing. So, yeah. So, yeah, I think, yeah. So he was basically an MF-er. So when you're a Mattitude follower, I think, like, that's how it is. Like, Mattitude followers were considered MF-ers. So, yeah. So the Mattitude followers stable. So because as Crash Holly was Moore's, quote, alleged apprentice, Hardy, I think, would often refer to as Crash Holly as a, quote, moron. Which was actually, again, it's actually really, really funny. So, yeah, so basically, you know, Shannon Moore, so because Crash Holly is Shannon Moore's, you know, apprentice, so, you know, it's funny, he calls him a moron. You're a moron. Get it? Man. Man. So, I'm not sure exactly how long it lasted, because, again, in June of 2003, that's when Crash Holly was released from the WWE. So, and I'm not sure exactly why. You know, I'm sure I could actually point it right now, and AI can give me a story. So, we're actually going to do that. So, why was Crash Holly released by the WWE? Let's see if AI has an answer for us. Because he was vocally unhappy with his creative direction after not having a significant role for a long time. According to reports and interviews, he frequently sought answers from creative and management about his lack of storyline, and his unhappiness was a major factor in his dismissal. So again, from creative to dissatisfaction, for the follower role. So yeah, so apparently even though he joined the Mattitude stable as, you know, again, quote, the moron, it did not lead to sustained success. And he was actually known to be very, very vocal about his discontent with the lack of a storyline. And he would often seek answers from creative. So that's why they got rid of him. So the fact that Crash Holly was brave enough to express his dissatisfaction and to go to creative and ask, why is this happening? I want to know why. It shows that Crash Holly was extremely passionate about the business, and not only was he passionate, he felt that he could give the business a whole lot more. He was confident in himself. So he basically said, I can do something. You know, let's do something. I can give a lot to this company. And he could have, because Crash Holly was a tremendous wrestler. Great in-ring talent. Great in-ring work. So Crash Holly could have given more to the WWE if they had given him a chance, but so I guess, you know what, since like that, they released him, and he briefly wrestled for Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. So when he signed with them in July of 2003, which was not long after he was released, back then it was the NWA Total Nonstop Action, and he was known as Mad Mikey. So, and his character, Mad Mikey, he was always upset, and, you know, he would he would cut his promos. So things, you know, certainly had a good direction, but I'm not sure how long he lasted. I mean, again, he died in November of 2003. So I'm not sure exactly if he was still with TNA when he died. But I don't know. But exactly, I'm not sure exactly how long this time in TNA lasted. But yeah, according to a source, yeah, he was actually still with TNA when he died in November 2003. So yeah. So I don't know what happened. I mean, looking at the research of his death, I mean, man, obviously, yeah, it had something to do with personal issues. I think, you know, according to like that, I think it had something to do with about his failing marriage or something like that. So, it's tough. It really is. So, man, it just breaks my heart to see what happened to Crash Holly. And you know, when you're fighting demons, you know, and dealing with depression and things like that, and again, you know, with how brutal wrestling is, I mean, it's tough. It really is. And, you know, again, you know, and when there's a lot of diseased wrestlers that die like that, you know, sometimes I feel like, you know, one day I want to visit the gravesite to personally pay my respects and, again, to personally thank them. But, you know, and they know how grateful I am, but but sometimes I feel like in my case, you know, for Eddie Guerrero, Crash Holly, and several other wrestlers, you know, and any wrestlers that are alive today, like, I feel like it's, I want to get a chance to personally thank wrestlers for what they've done, what they do, and anything in the future. So, you know, and that includes Eddie Kingston and along with many other wrestlers, you know. But for deceased wrestlers like Eddie Guerrero and Crash Holly and many more, you know, I wish I would have had a chance to personally tell them how grateful I am for what they've done. And it's tough, but you know what? Crash Holly and Eddie Guerrero, along with many other deceased wrestlers, they still have a positive impact for me. You know, I've not forgotten them, and their legacy lives on. And you know what? I'm very, very grateful for everything. You know, and here's something interesting, and this is personal with Crash Holly. Y'all remember the game WWF No Mercy? You know, when I would play that wrestling game, like, I would actually play a little game called Fantasy Booker. And I kind of learned that term in Bubba Ray Dudley's interview with Chris Van Vliet, that, you know, all this fantasy football, and, you know, you make all these changes and decisions and whatnot. Like, being as a wrestling fan, you know, playing the N64 game, like, on WWF No Mercy, I'll never forget that in WWF No Mercy, in the season mode or story mode, whatever it was called, I actually put the WWF title on Crash Holly. I actually gave Crash Holly a main event run. I put the belt on him. So basically, I created a fictional tournament. The title, like basically, there was a title match between The Rock and Triple H, but because they were both pinned simultaneously, the title had to be vacated. And basically, I had Crash Holly beat Triple H in the final. And in the semifinal, I had Crash Holly go over against The Rock. So in that game, you know, in my mind, you know, and this is not when I was a kid. Like, this is, like, as an adult, when I got an N64 from one of my good friends, Chris, who gave me the game as well. So this was when I was in college. So in college, now I might have mentioned that I did this when I was a kid, but I'm like, you know what? No, this is how it went. So as an adult, actually, and this is the truth, as an adult, I actually, that's when I was playing Fantasy Booker, because as a kid, I probably wouldn't have been smart enough to play Fantasy Booker. But anyway, I always kind of feel like, you know, so like, as an adult, like, you know what, I want to honor Crash Holly. So in the game, as a college student, yeah, I put the belt on Crash Holly, and I am so proud of what I did, especially the way I did it, and it was amazing. And in my honest opinion, Crash Holly was absolutely worthy of a main event shot. People might think I'm crazy, some people will disagree, but you know what? That's just how much I love and appreciate Crash Holly. Rest in peace, Crash. We miss you. We miss you, Houdini of Hardcore. You know, there's one more thing I'm going to mention about Eddie Guerrero. Recently, I believe the city of El Paso decided that there would be Eddie Guerrero Day. Well, as soon as I heard that, I said, well, it's about time. Part of me says that this should have happened a long time ago, but you know what? This probably should have happened 20 years ago, but you know what? At least it happened now. So according to this, to the El Paso Times, I think they proclaimed November 18th as Eddie Guerrero Day. So obviously, that's the... Well, it's not the day that Eddie Guerrero died. So Eddie Guerrero actually died November 13th of 2005. And as I'm recording basically right now, it's 11:51 on this lovely Tuesday night. So in about 9 minutes, it's going to be November 19th, but right now it's still November 18th at this second. So right now it's Eddie Guerrero Day. You know what? I think in Texas, you know, a lot of Texas wrestlers should be honored with a day. I think there should be Booker T Day the city of Houston ought to honor Booker T by, you know, Booker T Day. You know, and it shouldn't just be in El Paso for Eddie Guerrero. It should be in Texas. So wrestlers from Texas should be honored that way. So there's Eddie Guerrero Day. You know, and then ask, you know, what about, you know, Chavo Senior? You know, what about, you know, Gory Guerrero? You know what? You know what? November 18th is Eddie Guerrero Day. But you know what? I think with Eddie Guerrero Day, all Guerreros get honored. I think there should be a Von Erich Day. There should be a Terry Funk Day. Again, you know, with Booker T. You know, a lot of the wrestlers from Texas. So I think all Texas wrestlers should be honored. Yeah, but I'm so happy that El Paso has proclaimed Eddie Guerrero Day. But I hope one day Texas also does the same for Booker T. You know, and as far as Von Erichs, I mean, I don't even know if there is a Von Erich Day, but not that I know of, but I think there should be. But you know what? To honor Eddie Guerrero, I think this honors the Guerrero family. You know, in Calgary, there should be Bret Hart, Owen Hart, I mean, a day to honor the Hart Foundation. You know what? In Minneapolis, Jesse Ventura Day or Vern Gagne Day. I mean, so many wrestlers, but man, I just feel like I feel like cities and states should definitely honor wrestlers in this way. But I know that wrestlers do get honored very, very well. But with the whole concept of them honoring them with a day, you know what? Yeah, I'm all for it. But I'm sure the whole process will be difficult. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank y'all very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.